Chagiga Daf Beis,
the first Daf of Chagiga. I don't think I personally have ever learned Chagiga through parts of it, but let's do it together. Hakol Chayavim Bereiya. Everyone is obligated in sight. What does that mean, in sight? So there's an obligation when it comes to the yantis, three big yantis, the regalim, as we say, because regalim means you walk to the Beis Hamikdash, you go to Yerushalayim for yantis. So then there's the obligation for everybody to go, to be seen in the Beis Hamikdash for the regalim. Chutz mecher shatav katan, except for someone who is not obligated in mitzvahs generally, like cher shatav katan. How do we translate cher here? Deaf mute.
Yeah.
Deaf mute. Someone who is not all there intellectually, and a child who is not bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah yet, specifically bar mitzvah, because he's we'll see. It's interesting how this is going to play out, because there is also a pasuk that says you should bring your family, so we'll see how that works. The tumtum v'androgynous, people who are of undistinct gender. Non-distinct gender. V'nashim v'avadim v'sheinim v'shuchrarim. There you go. The women also are not obligated. It's a time-bound mitzvah. V'avadim v'sheinim v'shuchrarim, and servants which are not free. I don't know if the hafamina was there. V'v'hachiger, someone who can't walk properly. V'hasuma, someone who's blind. V'achola, someone who's sick. V'azakin, someone who is elderly. Misha en yachol alos v'ragla. And in addition to all of those, someone who can't walk. Right, so we'll have to see, obviously, what that adds to the question, because clearly we just listed a bunch of people that can't walk. It is an interesting phrase. Ein liyachol alos baraglav, as opposed to using something else. But okay, besides your feet. Ezu katan, says the Gemara. The one they're going to start with is a katan, even though it was the third on the list. Kol she'ein liyachol lirkov aksefav shel aviv lalos yishmishulam harabayas. So what does that mean? A child is not obligated, even though typically there is an obligation for children to be brought for the sake of chinuch. So what it says, what it means here is a katan is anyone who is not able to go on their father's shoulders to go to Yerushalayim. It's a long time to hold someone on your shoulders, depending where you live. But if you are able to hold them on your shoulders, if the father is able to hold the child on his shoulders, even though he's pater, I mean, he doesn't have to bring him, you still have to try to bring him midrabbana. Divrei Beis Shammai, that's according to the Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel omrim, kol she'ein yachol lechol b'yado shel aviv lalos mishlam harabayis. It doesn't have to be on his shoulders, but someone who can't hold his hand for that long. Shnemar shalosh regalim. What does it mean, regalim? That the pasuk doesn't mean a child who can't walk. So here, there's an assistance either by shoulder or by hands, which would obligate. So hold on. So the child that can go on the shoulders is obligated? I guess the point is the child who can't go without assistance. Meaning if the child is old enough that they should walk on their own, but they're a child, so then there wouldn't be chai.
Well,
but
maybe Beis Shammai's opinion is because if he rides on his father's shoulders, he's going on somebody's feet.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, I'm guessing that's Beis Shammai's opinion, Beis Hillel's opinion.
There's one way to see it, I guess. I don't know.
Go on his own feet. He has to go on his own feet. In any case,
that's an interesting question.
He derives the feet from the fact that it's called a regal.
Right. But what happens when a child grows out of the stage? He can no longer go on the shoulders. Does that mean?
Then
he's obligated completely now. You think katan here is to the exclusion of someone who can walk on their own?
So why didn't they just say katan?
I don't know. Right here, it's not saying that katan is the one who is able to go on the shoulders. The katan is one who's no longer able to go on the shoulders, right? Izu katan, who's completely pater? Kosha enu yachol erko.
I was viewing it as something totally different. A child is so little, he can't even hold on to his father's shoulders.
Oh, here.
Okay, maybe I'm.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure
okay,
that out.
So,
also.
So then, if he is no longer able to go on his father's shoulders, then he's obligated. Otherwise, he would just obligate the katan.
But the reason that I'm saying it like that is, because then the Gemara says, even though he's putter, when he's able to go on the shoulders, he's chayv midrabanan. Chayv midrabanan means he would be of an age where there's actually chinuch involved. Meaning, like if you're 10 years old or something.
The note here says he's unwilling to ride on his father's shoulders.
Because
alternatively, the weather makes it harmful for him to do so.
But is this because, maybe that begs the question of it.
It's because he's too young or too old.
Too young or too old. But if he's too old, then why are you making a distinction about him being exempt? The older you get, the more exempt you are. When you were two, you know, you're not exempt, and when you're seven, you're exempt. It seems backwards.
Yes, so I think it's hard with Bishamai's riding on the shoulders threshold here. Beis Hillel is a little bit easier to understand.
When you're one and a half and can't even
Right, exactly. Meaning you'd have to at least be able to hold on to the hand. If you can't do that, so then you don't age out of that kind of thing.
Almost. I mean, the implication here is once you age out of that, you're obligated to
get
ready. I mean, to say a katan is somebody who's not 13.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be in the other direction, like you said originally, that he's too little to go on the shoulders. But I guess even if you're 12 and a half, you could still go on your father's shoulders, technically.
Yeah, depending on how strong your father is.
Right, but it just seems weird, like that would be the threshold if you're like a big kid already. I guess big is relative, but...
The bigger you get, the more exempt you are. The closer you get...
No, that's what I'm saying. It must be like you said before. It must be. But I just don't know why they're using this... why Beis Shammai is using that specific threshold. It's just a strange threshold for a 12-year-old. Like, technically, you could put the 12-year-old on your shoulders, no problem. But like a 2-year-old, you wouldn't necessarily want to put on your shoulders. They can't balance themselves up there. So that part is... I don't know. Okay, let's keep going. Presumably, it's like a regular katan, that someone who is able to sort of hold their own in one way or another is chayev, at least midrabanan. But someone who's too young, so then they would not be chayev at all. They'd be pater, at least. Even midrabanan. Beshame omrim haraiya shte kesef. What does this mean? Someone who's chayev in the karban olas ra'iya, what has to be worth? The carbon that they bring. Right, the pasuk says, "Ish k'mat nafsi adel," in accordance to a person's ability to give. So it has to be at least to something of kesef. To what of kesef? Talents.
Two silver maos.
Yeah. How about the maos? Three dinar.
One third of a dinar. That's
a third of a dinar. Okay, the chagiga and the actual carbon chagiga ma'akesef has to be at least one. He says the opposite. The Gemara is going to talk about it. So Gemara says hakol asuya mai. When the Gemara says, okay, so hakol asuya mai, says the Gemara. Who is the Mishnah including when it says everyone's chayav in Ru'iyah? Says the Gemara in great Minchas Chinuch fashion, I'm even Yevin on this one, that someone who's half of an Eved and half of Ben Chorin, meaning that they have two masters, one of them freed them, one of them didn't. So they would also be chayav. What about according to Ravina, who says that half and half is not obligated, hakol asuya mai, so when the Mishnah says everyone's obligated, so mai lasuya chiger biyom rishon minispashet biyom sheni. Someone who, I guess, healed, was able to walk on the second day of Yontif. And therefore, the question is, did they have to go? At the beginning of Yontif, they weren't chayev when there was an obligation to go. So they say, no, yeah, according to Ravina, he is still chayef. Okay? Now the Gemara's going to ask about that. That makes sense. We're going to say that the days of Yantif are coming to complete the other ones. If you missed in the first days, you can still do in the ensuing days. And therefore, the one who becomes better, some is able to walk, should be able or should be obligated to then go to the base of Mikdash. But if every day is really just making up for what you missed on the first day, and it's not making up for the second day, making up for the third day, making up for the fourth day, meaning that the days themselves aren't a separate obligation, a new obligation. So then how do you understand the word Hakol? Again, the one who gets better in the middle of Yantif doesn't have to go to Beis HaMikdash because the first day he wasn't Chayiv, and therefore the fourth day where he's making it up for the first day is not really based on a fourth day obligation. It's based on the first day where he was not Chayiv. So then Hakol Asuyim Ma'ay Lasuyi Suma Va'achas Mi'enav, someone who's only blind in one eye. As opposed to the Mishnah says, you are Suma meant blind in both eyes. Now we're going to say that someone who's blind in one eye at least has one eye that you can see. He should go to Beis HaMikdash. The low ki aitan, it's not like this Mishnah, like this other Braisa. The Tana, like the Braisa says, Yochanan ben Dahavai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Suma ba'ach Smeena Fatman Ariyah, Shnemer Yireh Yeireh. The Pasuk says in different places, Shilosh Pamim Bashana Yeireh Kol Zichrocha. And then it says, Yireh. Where does it say Yireh? I don't know where it says Yireh. I guess it's not necessarily, it's written in a way that you could say Yireh. It's the entire of the Drash. That's kind of interesting. But therefore, Derech Sheba Liros, Kach Ba Liraos. Ma Liros, Bishteinav, Av Liraos, Bishteinav. Who is seeing us in the Beis HaMikdash? Presumably it's Hashem. So what does this mean? The way that you see is the way that you are seen. So the fact that you are seen, the way that you see, or the way that Hashem sees you, is b'shtei einav, a full sight. So too, you have to be seen in a full sight, or you have to see Hashem in a full sight, which is a kind of obviously an interesting way to phrase it, but. You need two good eyes, just like Hashem is seeing you completely. You have to see Hashem, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, the whole scene completely. And this is one time that says that you're for blind in one eye, it's not chayev, that you're not chayev in the regal. But at least according to Ravina, who cannot explain the Mishnah, when it says everyone's obligated to include even the half servant, so then he would say it's coming to include the person who's half blind. Or you could say, or you can say, like we said originally, when you ask, what about Ravina, who says that a half servant would be chayev? Lokasha would not be chayev. Lokasha kan kemishnari shona. Kan kemishnah chrona. Basil had changed his opinion about this, that they agreed with Beis Shammai. So in what way? Did Nan, the Mishnah tells us in Gittin, which we'll get to hopefully soon. Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin oved es rabo yom echad v'es atzma yom echad divrei Beis Hillel. If someone is a half and half, so then he's got two masters. He works for one, gets a day off, works for another, gets a day off. Pretty good gig relative to other servants, I guess. Divrei Beis Hillel. Amar lehem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai say back to Beis Hillel. Tikantim es rabo. You basically gave the master everything he wants, because for those days he's entirely belonging to him, meaning there's nothing deficient about that servitude. What does this mean? Lisa Shivcha Enayachal. No, we're not talking about that yet. Right now we're talking about the status of this servant, meaning there are certain things, maybe menial tasks, that make sense to say he's half and half. One day he's not doing them, one day he is doing them. But there are other aspects of servants' obligations that are sort of all-encompassing in their life. So one of those things is Lisa Shivcha.
He can't marry anybody.
He he can't marry anyone, because even if you're going to tell me, oh, well, he can marry somebody on the off day, then when he comes a servant, he can't be married to them anymore.
He can't marry a shivcha if he's free.
Right.
And he can't marry a freed.
Right. At least a shivcha in yachol, because he would be free. Basar in yachol, because he'd be a servant. So those are all encompassing, and therefore a libatel, he would not be able to be do peruvu at all.
Oh, about the other one. Let's say you are a free person and you're married, and because of your debts or your theft or whatever, you become a slave. What happens to your wife? She's not a slave. And
I think the whole family goes in, doesn't it? Someday.
You sell yourself into slavery, and your wife is forced to go with you.
They're forced to provide for her.
Yeah, I don't know if she has to serve, as she like lives with you.
She lives with you.
She's part of the contract, basically.
And so you are still married to a free woman. Why can't they
right.
be a free woman?
You're saying, why can't they maintain their marriage to a free woman?
Well, I'm saying, if you can maintain your marriage
right,
to a
right.
Batsumi,
why can't you do it in the middle?
The,
right, I hear that. That's an interesting question.
You go out of slavery the way you came in. Except if you married the master's wife, then you still don't. So you can't just become an eved.
Yeah, I think even on the off days, even though you're on that day, you're not an eved, you're still considered a chatzi eved, and you wouldn't be able to get married on those days.
Why are we worrying about? Are we trying to figure out an extra word to figure out the half slave, which is the
extra word? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I need some.
No. We're still trying to justify, or trying to explain what the word hakol chayavim means. Everybody's obligated, not just the people we list, but everybody. So who's everybody that we didn't list? So we're trying to justify how it could still be a chatziyev and chatzi ben chorin, according to Ravina, who thinks that the chatziyev and chatzi ben chorin is not obligated. Right? That's how Ravina would say. So now we're saying that. No, yeah, it's not a practical thing. It's a drasha from the pasuk. Yeah, I hear what you're saying though. So we're going back in time. We're going back to the time where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing about this generally. How do you look at a half at a half? Okay. So Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, what are you doing? You know, you're going to make them work one day, get off the other day, but you're going to entirely dismiss them from Pura Virvia. And the whole point of the world was for Puruvu. That the world was created for the sake of settling it, for the sake of having people born into it. Very interesting. What is the level of obligation from this pasuk? Not very clear, but the Gemara in Gittin, I believe, goes through it. And I think Tosfos says that this is actually a source for a woman's obligation in Puruvu. Even though the Gemara there says that a woman is not obligated, at least like a man, they are obligated from this pasuk, whatever that means. I don't know what the ramifications are differently from one or the other. But Elam Ibnei Tikkun HaOlam Kofin Es Rabba V'Oso So Ben Chorin. Rather, Tikkun HaOlam, there you go. Tikkun HaOlam. Rather, says Beis Shammai, don't allow the Chetzi Eved part of him to take over. But rather, kofin es rabba v'oso so ben chorin. You should make the master who keeps working him every other day, or according to Beis Hillel, every other day, you should make the master who's still enlisting this guy, you should make him free him. V'kosei v'oshtar al-chatzi adamav v'chatzi adamav, and you should make him pay the rest, pay him out. Or the servant should pay off the master. V'chatzi Beis Hillel l'hoskei v'shamesh. Beis Hillel says, yeah, shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do the one day off, one day on thing. Rather, you should just free him. Kind of interesting what Beis Hillel thought beforehand. What do you think afterwards? What changed his mind?
The only half slave, half free person is somebody who's already had children, maybe, or is already married from before.
Or can't pay it off somehow. I mean, you can come up with situations, but yeah. Okay. So in the end of the day, you can't explain it like you're Ravina. You can't explain it within Ravina. Hold on. Wait, this is trying to explain. It doesn't, I thought this was a question. According to this Hillel, oh, that's what it means. That Chatzir Chatzir and Choron is Chayiv, even according to Ravina, who says that they're not Chayiv, because they should be freed so that they can go. Yeah, okay, so this is interesting. I'm not exactly sure how they read this back into the first part of the Gemara, the first part of the Mishnah, which is HaKol Chayavim, but that it's still talking, it could still, according to Ravina, be talking about a Chatsiyav, a Chatsiyav, and Chorin. Very interesting that it doesn't continue the train of thought there. Okay. Yeah, even according to Ravina. I mean, the first Ravina says, yeah, they have to go, that's what's included in the HaKol Chayavim. Now we're saying, even going to Ravina, who said originally they don't have to go, they do have to go because they should be freed.
Does that mean the master has to let them?
Yeah. Well, that not it's not an obligated. It's not they're not obligated any more than when Beis Hillel says it generally. But yeah.
And when they come back, they're still a half slave.
No.
He has to free them forever.
He should free them.
Three times a year.
Yeah, he's not being freed for Yontif. He's being freed because he's a half slave.
The other places where it comes up, they don't like the half slave anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It depends on the situation. Yeah, it depends on the situation. I don't know. The Gemara continues. Chutz mechir shot v'katan. Outside of a deaf, mute, fool, or a child, katane cheresh to mitzvah to the katan. We find that we're talking about a cheresh who is similar to a fool and a katan. Mashu to the katan, delav neidea. They both don't have the intellectual capacity. Av cheresh lav bardeahu. We're also talking about a deaf, mute who also is not in all there mentally. The kamash malan kiditnah. His tongue is just the following, like the following mission says: cheresh adibra chacham chomakom. The chayrish that we're talking about, she'enu shemeh ve'enu medaber, deaf and mute. Hamadaber v'enu shemeh, shemeh v'enu medaber, chayiv. Someone who's only one of those two things, and therefore is capable in some sense, they can hear or they can speak, so then they are obligated. So Gemara says, tanina l'ha, we already learned this. We also learned this. L'detan rabbanan. Hamadaber v'enu shemeh, zehu chayrish. Someone who can speak and can't hear, that's considered a cheresh. Shomeh v'enu medaber, someone who, this is against what we just said. Shomeh v'enu medaber, zehu ilin. Someone who can hear but cannot speak, that is a mute. V'zeh v'zeh, but if you're both, you can't do either.
No, it's saying both of these.
Both of those situations where you can only do one. Harehen kepich l'chol divrehen. They're considered completely healthy for the sake of mitzvahs. That's what it's saying. Hold the brand of all the mitzvahs. Okay, interesting. So the word cheresh is somewhat malleable. Sometimes it means completely deaf mute, like our Mishnah, and sometimes it means only deaf. But if you're only one, so then you'd be chayiv. Umimai, how do you know? Do we medaber ve'enu shomea zeu cheresh v'shomea ve'enu medaber zeu leilim? Yechsev, because the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Vani kecheresh lo eshma, uchilim lo yiftachbiv." It's pretty explicit from Tehillim. Viva yisem alter and liki darmeishi ishtakol milulei. Milulei is like his speaking, but his speaking was taken away.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with a cheresh or an ilim? It's just that people say that about an Elaine? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an acronym, I think, no? Is it Ishtikum Milule, like the Aleph and the Mem and the Lamin, Elaine? No, I don't know. That's how people talk about a person who's mute. I don't know why. Everybody says this phrase about someone who can't speak? I don't know. Yeah, that's a very strange Ibai Sema to me. Well, that's a source. Either way. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with the word. That's my point. I don't know. Okay. Well, let's see if they have a note here. Yeah. Rashi says it's based on the words.
Right.
Some kind of acronym. I mean, that's also a tough one, but a little out of order, but I guess so. Okay. So therefore, but this is somewhat against our Mishnah. Against what we said before. We said the Chirish that we talked about in our Mishnah was only completely deaf and mute. But now we're saying the word Chirish actually just means deaf. So I guess it's all based on context, I guess. In our Mishnah, it's referring to someone who's both deaf and mute, and in here, we're talking, the Chirish is only someone who's deaf.
Are we trying to separate it, like to compare it to, say, someone who's half this and half this?
No.
So maybe you're half disabled?
No. I don't think so. I think so, because it depends on the disability.
Someone who's not here,
we're saying based on the context of our Mishnah, where it's coupled with, or grouped together with, the Shota and the Katan, it has to be someone who's completely disabled. Intellectually, but someone who is able to speak or able to hear, they're not at the same level. So chirish generally means someone who's only deaf in their ears, but in this case, it's considered someone who's deaf and mute because they're you know, grouped together with a shot and a katan. So we just said that someone who is one or the other is still chayev. V'atanya, doesn't the Brisa says hamadaber ve'enu shemeya shemeya v'enu medaber pater. We have a verse that says they'd be puzzled from going to the Beis HaMikdash for Yontif. Am Ravina v'tehem Rava. Ravina comes up again. Chasri Mesav Kitani. This is what the Mishnah, our Mishnah, means to say. Hakol Chayavim Biriyu V'Simcha. Everyone is obligated in sight and joy. Chut Mecheir Shamedav Ravina Shemeya. Except for the one who is deaf and can't. Sorry. Someone who is deaf and can speak but can't hear. O shamea v'enu medaber, who can hear but can't speak. Shepatr min haria, because that person is also pater, as opposed to what we said before. The afalti shepatr min haria, and even though he's pater from sight, from going to the Beis HaMikdash, from being seen in the Beis HaMikdash, chayev b'simcha, he's still chayev if he's one or the other. He's still chayev in rejoicing over the holiday. V'yasheeno lo shomea v'lo medaber, someone who's both deaf and mute, v'shot v'katan, so that's when they're grouped together for simcha, patr afena simcha, holu b'tur mikol mitzvos ha'moed v'sorah, because they're not obligated in any mitzvos. So really it is grouped together, the chirish that we have in our mission is grouped together, but only in terms of simcha. In terms of re'iyah, they'd still be patr even if they're only one or the other. They can do whatever they want, yeah. Tanin amihachi. They'd still be chayiv in simcha. They have to do it at home if they are only one or the other. Yeah, meat and wine for one or the other. But they don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Tana Mihach, the Brisa also similarly says, Hakol chayavim b'ri'ia v'simcha chutz mechir shamadaber ve'enu shamea shamea v'enu medaber shebtum min har'ia. Right? Brisa says so explicitly, if you're one or the other, you'd still be patr v'af al pisha patr min har'ia chayiv v'simcha, even though you're patr from going to the Beis HaMikdash with your, in a tangible, practical sense, you'd still be chayiv in celebrating Yantif at home. Because they're not obligated in any mitzvot, they're similarly not obligated at all. If they're deaf and mute, similar to the Shota and the Katan, they would not be chayiv in anything, including even the Simcha and Yantif. They do not have to have any meat or wine. I'm sure they can volunteer to do so, but they're not obligated in either mitzvah. Okay. Coming up to the only Gemara I really know from Chagiga, which is Yesu Pamaya Farel, not all my favorite Gemara. Okay. Later on, we'll see. Here's Hashem. We'll regroup tomorrow.